Amen. Appreciate that good song. Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And I think I've got a short message tonight. And so I know that puts you on notice. Beware. But I think it's going to be short tonight. Just a thought and a few pages of notes to deal with on that thought that I trust will be a blessing. And I mentioned that my message tonight goes along with what Brother Steve was teaching about in Sunday school this morning. Not the totality of the lesson, but one particular point dealing with that Sunday school lesson. And I, by the way, appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. Amen. Another good one and good thoughts and instructions, really, and symbolism that we could see there with Elisha. And I enjoy studying the scriptures that way. I really do. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, probably a familiar chapter to you, but verse number 11 is where I'm going to take my text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Paul says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." I want to lift three words from this text and use the text to preach on this phrase, "We persuade men." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Joshua, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Please help us, Lord. Yes.
Speak to us through your word, and Lord, I pray that you would give us what we need to live for you. Lord, I pray that you would work in the heart of the sinner.
Yes.
Convict them of their sin. Lord, I pray you would help the saved as well, that they live for you and everything that they do. Lord, I do pray that you would help us tonight in the message, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, the text that I read to you, Paul is writing this second letter to the Corinthians, and he's dealing with the judgment. He's dealing with the fact that we must all appear, he says that in verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So he's talking about the fact that even Christians are going to stand before God in a judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne judgment. It's not to determine if you get to go to heaven. All those at the great white throne judgment, none of them are going to heaven. They're all going to hell. At the judgment seat of Christ, none of them are going to hell. They're all going to heaven. And there's a difference in those two judgments that we can see in the scriptures. But he said in both cases we're going to be judged according to what we've done in our body, and we're going to give an account whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so he goes from that context to talking about the terror of the Lord. Since we know that we have the fear of God in our life, since we have this concern about the fact that we're going to face God, he said it causes us to persuade men. It causes us to go after them with the gospel. So Paul's talking about the fact of the awful terror of facing God in the judgment. And he said that causes us to have a driving desire to convince men to turn to Christ as their Savior, to convince them of their need of a Savior and their need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, all their energy, and all their being. Can I say to you, that is our duty as well. Amen. That is our need. It's especially needed in our day. Amen. And one of the things that caused me to think along these lines, I just, this past week, just finished reading Charles Spurgeon. Well, actually, Ian Murray wrote the book. It's called Charles Spurgeon versus Hyper-Calvinism. And I'd read it about 5 years ago and was impressed with it, and decided I was going to reread that, reread it, and went through it a lot quicker this time, and actually saw things in it I didn't see the other time, and it was a blessing to me. But it gave me, it caused me to see a little bit more of Spurgeon's burden for reaching sinners. And Spurgeon was against the crowd that had no invitation for sinners to come to Christ. He talked about those that said you don't offer an invitation to sinners. You offer an invitation to awakened sinners. And of course, Spurgeon said that's not what Jesus did. That's not what any of the apostles did. They offered a blanket invitation to sinners. Come to Christ. Amen. And that got me to thinking. I remember several years ago I was in a camp meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, and a man in his message just referenced Spurgeon. The next preacher to God is one of those where one fellow shoots the next fellow down, you know, and that kind of a thing. And so the next fellow got up and he got to shooting at that fellow for mentioning Spurgeon. He said, "I'll never read Spurgeon or quote Spurgeon because Spurgeon was a 5-point Calvinist." That's what the man said. When he got done, the pastor got up and he said, "I don't know if Spurgeon was a 5-point Calvinist or not." He said, "I would call him at least a 6-point Calvinist." He said his 6-point was that if you're not concerned about sinners, I doubt you're even saved. And if you'd read, matter of fact, you read that book, Spurgeon versus Hyper-Calvinism, he pretty much says that. He pretty much says that fellas that don't believe that sinners can come to Christ, that he doubts if they've ever come to Christ. Amen. And so I was got to thinking about that and recognizing let me just say, Spurgeon's not my hero that I try to pattern my life after, although he is a great man, had a lot of good things. Jesus ought to be our hero. But if we're gonna try to list some men, Paul would be a man that ought to be up there pretty high. And I don't see why Spurgeon wouldn't necessarily be a man up there pretty high. Amen. Men that have accomplished great things for God and done great things for God. Amen. And by the way, they may say things different than I'd say it. They may have beliefs that different than I have in some areas and things such as that. I can understand that. Nobody has it down exactly right except Jesus. Amen. Now, the writings of Paul are inspired, amen, but that doesn't mean that Paul never made a mistake, amen. And so, and I know sometimes I could get in trouble for that. Some people say, "Well, you're questioning the Apostle Paul." Everything Paul said was not inspired. Everything Paul did was not inspired, amen. Everything Peter did was not inspired, but there are certain things that were, amen, and they're recorded for us in the Scriptures. Amen, and we have those words. Those are the inspired words of God. Amen, and they were holy men of God. And so let me just get off of that and go on. But the idea here is about these men that I'm looking at and talking about being an inspiration, at least to me, and I think they ought to be to all of us, is that they remind us that we ought to be mindful of the coming judgment of God. We ought to be mindful not just of the fear of God, but the love of God, that God, here's what, and this is in that last part of that book, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's Bible, by the way. Amen. Paul said that to Timothy. He's talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Peter said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And so the idea is Christ was interested in persuading men. The Holy Ghost is left here to persuade men. And he calls people to persuade men to come to Christ. Now when I say men, men and women and boys and girls, you recognize that. But the idea is that it's still the job, the work of God to draw people to Christ that they might be saved. Amen. And so Paul uses that and he says, we persuade men. I appreciate what Brother Steve said this morning. He's right. It's not my job to get them saved. My job is to carry the message. And then the Holy Ghost take that word of God and prick their heart and draw them to Christ. Amen. We've got the mentality. Joshua touched on it some weeks ago in his Sunday school about some of the goals people set. Here we are headed towards the new year and people be setting goals. And I'm not against setting a goal necessarily, but it ought to be a goal that is achievable by us. Now, for example, you can say, "I'm going to read so many chapters of the Bible." Sure, you can achieve that. But when you say, "I'm going to win so many people to God," you can't win one. Unless the Holy Ghost. But now you can say, "I'm going to give this many people a witness. I'm going to do my best to try to tell as many as I can about Jesus. I'm going to try to live in such a way that my life can be a light." Amen. And that's an achievable goal that you can do. But it's up to God to draw sinners to repentance. Amen. And so I believe we need to be reminded of the coming judgment as children of God. We need to be reminded, whether we're a sinner or a saint, that we need to be reminded that we're going to face God one of these days. Amen. Mrs. Hall sings that song, and I remember the first time I ever heard it. I was a young preacher, and then another, and wasn't here, wasn't her singing it, somebody else singing it, but that song, "Must I Go and Empty-Handed, Thus My Dear Redeemer Meet. Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I," I've forgotten how it says it. Well, empty-handed be, all right? I don't want to face Him and Him be ashamed of me. I don't want to be ashamed of Him at His coming. And so this idea about we persuade men, I got to thinking about here we are, and of course we just celebrated Thanksgiving. We're headed towards Christmas time, and there's great opportunity to be a witness. Great opportunity to be a witness. But we will not unless we have a burden.
Amen.
Amen. Unless we have a burden. And so I say this, we need this seriousness that Paul had here. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. Paul was not just a witness because that's what the job he signed up for. Paul was not just a witness because he's trying to impress the church down the road. Paul was not just a witness so he could get written up in the latest newspaper about what all he'd done. No, Paul was interested in witnessing the people because he knew his God was watching everything he did, and he was going to stand before God one day and give an account of how he lived his life. Amen. And so I think we need this seriousness that would cause us to be trying to win our neighbors, to be trying to win our loved ones to God. Amen. So I've got three or four things I want to look at this morning or this evening here, and using our text as a springboard about we persuade men. Number one, I think it would help us to think about the seriousness and sincerity of the ministry. Now, this is talking about preachers in particular. But I want to say this, preaching is no joking matter. I love to joke much as anybody does. You know that. Maybe sometimes I carry it too far. But preaching is not a joking matter.
Amen.
Amen. It's not joking at all. Matter of fact, Paul was a dedicated man, you'll have to say. He was a sincere man, and he provoked sincerity. There's many verses that will show you that in Philippians chapter 1. You don't have to turn. I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. Through 11, Paul said, "In this I pray," this is his prayer, "that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Paul said, you're going to face God one day. My prayer for you is that you'll be sincere in this life. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you." Paul said, I've been sincere around you, but this is not just a job for me. This is not just something that I learned by rote. This is something that's in my heart and the burden of my soul. Amen. I've been sincere about this thing. Titus chapter number 2 and verses 7 and 8. He says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Amen. Paul said, Titus, you're a young preacher. He said, I want you to show forth sincerity. Amen. I have heard men preach that it didn't seem like there was a lot of seriousness there. Just seemed like they was putting on a show. I'm afraid I felt that way. I've heard people sing. I've heard people give testimony. I've heard people do different things. It didn't seem to me like there was a lot of sincerity there. And I want to remind us, this thing of the ministry is no joking matter. The souls of men and women, boys and girls, is no joking matter. Serious. Amen. And so we ought to take it as serious. I'll just say there's too many fakes, phonies, and hypocrites in religion today. Amen. Too many of them. We don't need more. We need less. Amen. Amen. We need somebody that's going to be real for Jesus. Amen. I'm for shouting. We don't need a fake shout. We need the real thing.
Amen.
Amen. I'm for people getting saved. We don't need a fake salvation. We need the real thing. Amen. We don't need a fake conviction that just moves emotions is all. We need the real thing. Amen. Reaches down to the very heart. And I'll say we don't need a fake burden.
Amen.
We need the real thing.
Amen.
Amen. The real thing. One preacher complained about some preachers. This is what he said. He called them a dry stalk, quote, a dry stalk. That is a mere intellect, a mere head with little heart, an elegant writer with no unction, a great logician, but little of faith, a fervent imagination it may be, but with no Holy Ghost power. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. We don't just need a head, we need a heart.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, in that book, that Spurgeon versus Hyper-Calvinism, they quote a man by the name of John Duncan. John Duncan said this. He said that he says that Hyper-Calvinism is a building with no doors. And he said Arminianism is doors with no building. You know, I think that's right. Building being the body of doctrine. Amen. We need a body of doctrine, but we need a door to let people into it. There's got to be a way in. Amen. But if you're going to open the door, you better have something to offer them when you open the door. There better be somewhere they can go get some doctrine. Amen. I think that's good. And that's a good quote. But I say, Lord, deliver us from these fakes, from these frauds. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'll say we as Christians, I'm not just preachers, all of us, we need to be convinced of the certainty and the suddenness of judgment. We need to be convinced of it. We wish our loved ones, our lost loved ones, would be convinced that judgment is sure and that judgment could be sudden. But we need that. Not just them. We need that burden. Amen. We need to be reminded of the seriousness of sinners facing a wrathful God. Amen. Amen. We need to be reminded that God that they've cursed, that God that they've rejected, that God that they've denied, they're going to face Him one day. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be sure of it. I say this, we need to get a whiff of the fire and brimstone. Amen.
Amen.
The fire and brimstone is waiting for sinners without God. We need to get a whiff of it and be reminded. Amen. That could be us, but by the grace of God, it's not. Amen. And we ought to get a burden for sinners. Amen. How can we hope to persuade others if we've never been persuaded ourselves? Amen. I mean, if we want our loved ones to really believe there's a hell, we've got to believe it.
Amen.
We got to believe it. If we really want our loved ones to believe that Jesus can save them, we got to believe it.
Amen.
We got to believe it. So we need a sincerity. We need a seriousness about the ministry. Then number two, we need thoughtfulness and meditation on judgment. I've touched that already. Need to be thinking about the judgment of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, God said this about Israel, verse 28 and 29. He said, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." That's God talking. God said that nation is ignorant, and I wish they'd wake up. I wish they'd learn something. I wish they'd listen to something. That ought to be our burden for America. America is ignorant today. Amen. Ignorant today. People will believe lies on both sides of the fence.
Amen.
And they'll chase after all that and make things big that's not big. I'll tell you what's really big. Heaven or hell's really big. Where are you going to spend eternity? Who cares who's going to spend the next 4 years in the White House if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity after life's over? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we need a thoughtfulness about meditation. God said, I wish they were wise. I wish they'd wake up and consider their latter end. Amen. Job said this. In Job 23, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." Job now, man that was, God called him perfect and upright. God said he's cream of the crop. If he's going to let the devil have somebody to tempt, I'll give Job to him, because I know Job will come out all right. Job said, "When I face God, I'm fearful. When I think about God, it frightens me." Amen. Causes me to tremble, causes my heart to be soft, and thinking about God the Almighty troubles me. Amen. When you consider God, a holy fear ought to sweep over us. Amen. Amen. Holy fear ought to sweep over our heart again. You say, "But preacher, I'm saved," and thank God we are. But it's just the grace of God. It's not your goodness that got you saved. Amen. It's not your goodness that keeps you saved. Amen. Amen. We need to get a glimpse of God like Isaiah did. It caused him to fear and tremble before God. Amen. Paul instructed Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. These are some of my favorite verses. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Paul said, if I can paraphrase it, he said to Timothy, Timothy, if you'll be persuaded about these things, you'll be persuasive about them. You'll not only help yourself, you'll help somebody else if you'll get some reality about these things. And I underlined these, some words in these four verses. He said, give attendance, neglect not, meditate upon these things, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them. Amen. Amen. I'm afraid, just like what I preached this morning, I'm afraid our mind gets caught up thinking about certain things that are in time, and it causes us not to think about things in eternity. Whether it's things of the past, things of the present, or even things of the future. Listen, we ought not just think about things that deal with time. We ought to be thinking about things that deal with eternity. Amen. God help us to think about that. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll get so worldly minded and we'll fail to take consideration about the certainty of heaven and hell. All we'll think about is this world. Amen. And I say this and move on. Every person you met yesterday is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell one. And more than likely, we didn't even think of it. Amen. Every person you met yesterday, I don't know how many you met. There's a good chance you could have met a number of people. They're going to spend eternity somewhere in heaven or hell. You know what? We need to be reminded of that. We need to be serious about that. Amen. Thoughtful about that. And then number three, not only we need to meditate about the sincerity and the seriousness of the ministry, and we need to meditate about the judgment and have thoughts about the coming judgment and the love of God. Number three, we ought to be attempting to persuade men. That's what Paul said. He said, knowing this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You'd have to say Paul did that. Paul did that in pulpits when he'd get to go to the synagogue. He'd go into town. If they had a synagogue, he'd find it. And he'd go in there and preach to them. He'd reason with them out of the scripture. Amen. He would argue with them. I think maybe that might be one of the words that's used. Paul would go in there and he'd show them the scriptures and allege to them that this Christ in the Bible is Jesus. Amen. And he'd show them all those things. But if he didn't have a synagogue, you know what he'd do? He'd go house to house if he had to. He'd go by the riverbank where they're having a prayer meeting somewhere. Amen. And he'd talk to them about God. He'd not only talk to them about God, he'd point them to Jesus Christ, showing them that this Christ that he's preaching to them is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This Jesus that he preaches him is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said here, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Amen. In other words, if we really believe that sinners are headed to hell, that their only hope is Jesus, wouldn't it stand to reason we'd tell them? We really believe that. Amen. Spurgeon talked about that believing, and he said this. He said, if a man's sitting, he didn't say on his couch, I don't remember now what he said, but if a man's sitting in his house, and I come up to him and tell him that his house is on fire, and he says, I know it. He said, but if he's not getting out, he don't really believe it. Amen. If you pass by and you see somebody's house is on fire and you don't stop and tell them, you don't really believe that they need to get out. You don't really believe it's on fire. You don't believe there's danger there. Amen. And so I'm saying we need to recognize sinners are headed to hell. We ought to be saying something to them. Amen. Or how about this? Wouldn't we at least be praying for them? Wouldn't we at least be calling their name out to God? Amen. Asking God to save them. Asking God to convince them. I'm not saying it's in our power to do the convincing. That's not my point. It is in God's power to do the convincing, but I want God to do it, and I want to be convinced myself so strongly that I'm going to beg God to open their blinded eyes. I'm going to beg God to wake them up. I'm going to beg God to keep them awake. I'm going to beg God to bring them to a place that they'll recognize their great need. Amen. And that brings me to my last point. Not only we ought to be attempting to persuade men, but we ought to be prevailing in prayer for the power to persuade. Amen. Isaiah 66 verse 8 says this, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Amen. He's talking about the Messianic kingdom now, Israel being saved in a day. We talk about that. We recognize that. But here's what he said. As soon as Zion travailed, when she got serious, something happened. Amen. I'm thinking again about Katie having the baby. Some of you ladies have had babies. Was you serious about it when the labor pains hit? You got serious about having that baby. All of a sudden, you wanted to have that baby. You didn't want to have it 6 weeks from now. Amen. And by the way, there's something I talked to Joshua about this a few weeks ago. God works in the body, for example, of a woman. And I realize I'm a man and I don't know nothing about that other than standing back here and watching. But God works on the woman that she's excited about that pregnancy and she's going along. But there comes a time she's ready to have that baby. Amen. She don't care if it weighs 5 pounds or 55 pounds. She's ready to have that baby. Amen. She don't want to wait. I mean, time's now. We got to do it now. Amen. God give us a burden to have that urgency. God, I want them saved. I want them saved so bad. I just want them saved, Lord. I'm burdened about that. I'm travailing in prayer about that thing. Amen. And I got other Bible verses. Genesis chapter 30, verse number 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." That's getting serious about a burden. Wanting a physical baby. Amen. I say, we need spiritual births in the house of God. We need spiritual births into the family of God. We ought to have a burden for it. Amen. Feel as if we'll die. Have you ever done that? Felt as if you die? If the need of your loved one's not met, that's what Rachel did. Amen. That's what moms and dads have done down through the centuries, by the way. Amen. Get on an altar, whether it's in a church or down behind a woodshed somewhere, in a barn stall somewhere, or in a wood somewhere, or in a cornfield somewhere, or side of bed, they'd get along with God, and they'd start begging God. Tears would flow. The burden would rise up in their heart. They'd start longing for God to save their loved one. You say, "Preacher, I haven't seen that or heard of that in a long time." That's right, and it may be one reason why we're not seeing a lot of people come forth to the birth. There's no travailing. There's no burden. There's no sowing in tears, so there's no reaping in joy. Lord, help us. I'm not fussing at you. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Preaching to myself. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 29. This is the words of Jesus. He said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Amen. I read a book. I loaned it to Dad the other day. A book by G. Campbell Morgan on preaching. A little short book, maybe 70, 80, 90 pages. A little short book. And written back in the 60s, 1960s, I think. Might have been 50s, 50s or 60s. G. Campbell Morgan, in that book, he says several critical things about the King James Bible. And one of them, he talks about this verse. He says that the originals have shown us that the word fasting is not in there. And so he read it as it's read in the Revised Standard Version. And he said, "See there, we lose nothing by leaving that word out." I wrote in the margin, and I don't usually write in books, but I did that one. I wrote wrong and underlined it twice. I love G. Campbell Morgan, a great man of God. But he is wrong about that. Jesus said, "This kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now here's why I say he's wrong about losing. Those disciples had prayed, they hadn't fasted, and they didn't get that devil kicked out. How come they didn't get that devil kicked out? Because Jesus said you don't just need prayer. Jesus said you got to have prayer and fasting. Amen. Amen. You can make a cake, for example, leave out one ingredient. My mother-in-law made a a coconut pie sometime back. Forgot the coconut. I joke her about it all the time. Amen. But it's a good pie. Just didn't taste like coconut. We're eating and said, something's missing. Something's missing. But you can leave it in. Melissa made a pie for Joshua today. All the rest of us was eating sugar-free, so she made him one with sugar in it. Only she forgot to put the sugar in it. I told her she's getting like her mama. She loved that. Now she likes me telling it over the radio. But here's the point I'm making. You can leave out one ingredient and it don't come out right. Especially if it's one of the main ingredients. Jesus said this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And if you leave off the prayer or you leave off the fasting, you're not going to get the outcome that you desire. Amen. Here's my point. Have we left off the prayer and fasting? Our outcome's not what we might long for. Might be because we've left out some of the ingredients. Amen. Amen. Moms and dads, I sit down through the years, have wept over their children, prayed for their children. You can read biographies and accounts of people's lives. I was talking about reading the biography of William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a great man, did great things for England. Brought them, he stopped the slave trade, almost single-handedly stopped the slave trade in England after about 40 years, 20-some years of putting it in there. When he got the slave trade stopped, then he still had to stop the slave business. They just wasn't trading them. They wasn't selling, bringing them in, but he still had to stop the slavery. And he did. God used him to do that. But Wilberforce, I forgot how many children he had, three of his boys, he was concerned about his boys because they were, they called them high church Anglicans. After Wilberforce died, all three of them boys joined the Catholic Church. I'd rather not be so successful in government if I could reach my boys than to be successful in government and lose my boys. And I'm sure Wilberforce would feel the same way. I'm not blasting him for that. But I'm asking the question to me and you. We read about it. We hear about people that they prayed and fasted and begged God to save their loved ones. And I believe God did it. Amen. Not everyone. And by the way, just because we wish it to be so with the most fervent desire does not make it so. Amen. But at the same time, if we never get a burden and we never pray, and like I said, never sow in tears, can we expect to ever reap in joy? Amen. Now, let me give you these last things in conclusion. I wrote it this way. Before we attempt to wrestle with men about their need of salvation, we ought to be wrestling with God. We ought to be getting a burden. Leonard Ravenhill said, and he talked about those old men of the past, that mount the pulpit with power. He said the reason they could mount the pulpit was with power is because they'd wrestled with God in secret. But Steve talked about it this morning. Elisha had to have that secret display of the power of God before he could have that public display of the power of God. Amen. And we need to get in secret with that burden, with that calling on God. I still believe if preachers would get a burden, if church members would get a burden, I still believe if mamas and daddies would get a burden, I believe we could see people saved by the grace of God, even in this day and hour that we're living in. Amen. Amen. We need to be wrestling with God, getting the burden, getting the right spirit, getting the right words, that we might approach the subject with them. Amen. Tears carry weight with God and with men. Therefore, we ought to cry and weep before the throne of God. And we ought to cry and weep before our lost loved ones. Amen. Amen. Ask God to help us spend some time fasting and praying for tears, praying for compassion. Prevailing in prayer for the power to persuade. Lord, help me be a better witness. Lord, let my light shine brighter. Help me be a more compassionate Christian. Amen. Help me show forth the love of Christ in a better way. Help me have the right words and the right thing to say. And again, it's not me that's doing it. Lord, it's you that does it. And I'm asking you to use me to persuade men. Amen. The Holy Ghost does it, but he does it through men. We persuade men. Paul wasn't talking about him and the men with him. He's talking about him and the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Amen. So I say we need to wrestle in prayer for the power of God upon our lives. We need to wrestle in prayer with God for the power of God upon our witness, that it could have some impact. God could use our words. God could use our life. God could use our testimonies. God could just use our countenance. Amen. Just use our countenance. I've read stories of people just saw somebody and saw the look on their face when they was going through trouble, for example, and saw something in them they knew they didn't have. Got to begging God that they could have it. Lord, help us be a bright and shining light for Jesus. Let's stand to our feet all over the house tonight. As they come with a song, Lord, help us to have this burden for sinners, to prevail in prayer for sinners, to have a burden for sinners. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't just ask this for our people, but I do ask it for our people, and I ask it for myself. Lord, would you help us be a weeping church? Help us to be a church that's concerned about loved ones that's lost. We can't help, but Lord, when we come together at Christmas time and family times, Lord, we can't help but sometimes see things that cause us grief. We hear things on the internet or Facebook or things going on, Lord, that cause us grief. Help us, Lord, that we might have a burden that we'd pray and beg God, Lord, to change their life. To remind them of that seed that's been sown and the light that's been shown to them. And Lord, let us keep shining that light and let us keep the hope of Christ before them. Father, help us have that burden like Rachel said, give me children or else I'd die. Like Hannah that said, God, I want a child so bad. If you'd give him to me, I'd give him back to you. Lord, help us be willing to give up what we want so you can get what you want for your glory and your honor. Lord, I believe you want to see sinners saved. I believe you still want to see boys and girls come to Christ. Today, I believe you want that. When you said about Israel, oh, that they would be wise. That they would consider their latter end. Lord, I believe you're still saying that. People going the wrong way. Young people going off into sin. Wrecking their lives. Ruining their lives. Some of them are just playing around and tempting the evil one and being tempted by him, and they're going to be trapped one day. They're going to find out they're trapped. Lord, I believe when you see that, it breaks your heart. Help it, Lord, to break ours. Help us, dear God, to have a burden for sinners. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If the Lord's speaking to you while we sing this song, if you'd like to come, some's praying, if you need to, I want to give you opportunity to do that.